Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what differences are there between the FRA anti-Semitism survey that was conducted in 2012 and the one that is in progress now? The Institute for Jewish Policy Research, or JPR, is a London-based research institute and think tank. It specializes in contemporary Jewish affairs with a particular focus on Jews in Britain and across Europe. JPR's work is driven by a central principle. Everything they do should support Jewish community planning and development. They're regularly commissioned to conduct research for charities, foundations, and governmental institutions in the UK and across Europe. Recent commissions have included projects examining aspects of contemporary Jewish identity, charitable giving, Jewish education, social care and welfare, media consumption, synagogue membership, and Jewish school development. On their website, you can access JPR's publications based on results of their own research, as well as the European Jewish Research Archive, with more than 2,000 items from different sources. Their Jewish Europe section is an interactive map that includes all kinds of information about Europe's Jewish populations, including key data and core information on 40 countries, with cross-references to publications and archival material about them. Richard Goldstein, JPR's Director of Operations, spoke with us about the Institute and the anti-Semitism survey that is now in progress in 13 European countries, and that all Jews living in those countries are heartily encouraged to participate in. If you would like to participate in the survey, we've included a link on this page.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today. First, could you tell us what the Institute for Jewish Policy Research is, when it was founded, by whom, why?
Sure, no problem. Thank you for having me on today, Linda. I appreciate it. We were originally founded as the Institute of Jewish Affairs by the World Jewish Congress in New York just after World War II, and it was to monitor the Jewish refugees and Holocaust survivors and what their issues facing them across Europe. And it was moved to Europe in 1965 to London.
Why was that?
Because it was mostly monitoring European Jewish issues. It felt it had to be in Europe. So London was the place they wanted to set it up. And it monitored, especially in the 1980s, refusenik life, Jewish life in the Soviet Union, and the persecutions and the problems that were going on there. But in its modern incarnation, we were re-established in 1996 as the Institute for Jewish Policy Research. And today we are the only independent research that specializes in researching, documenting, and analyzing data that's to do with the Jewish community. So really, in short, today we exist to undertake research to support the Jewish community and its organizations, to help them to develop their work with future planning. Too many times, investment and decisions are made on intuition and guesswork, and our job is to provide relevant facts and figures and analysis into people who make those decisions, who are shaping community policy in Britain and across Europe.
Can you tell us what kind of data and analysis you work with, and who uses them?
Sure, of course. So we do work. We analyze data. We carry out surveys. We analyze census data and other existing data sets on various issues impacting the Jewish community. So the type of topics we specialize in is anti-Semitism, Jewish education, Jewish schools, social welfare, health and disabilities within the Jewish community, synagogue membership. We've done work on Jewish student life at universities. We've looked at charitable giving. We look at issues like intermarriage. It's a whole array of issues that we deal with. we took a decision a few years ago. Do we want to be a research institute that sits in its ivory tower and just puts out research that it thinks it's important and hope people pick it up and make judgments? Or do we actually want to help Jewish community organizations? So a lot of the work, and we made the decision for the latter. So a lot of the work that we do is Jewish community organizations in Britain and across Europe come to us and say, we need some research on this issue. So we've done specific work, for example, on charitable giving for different Jewish organizations, analyzing their donors. We've worked with Jewish schools in the UK a lot in the last 2 years to analyze demand for places for Jewish schools and help them set the supply that's needed to match it, not just for now, but we make projections for the future. We've worked with people like Jewish organizations like Jewish Care and Langdon to help them work out what is the need for elderly life in the Jewish community. What are the disabilities that are facing Jews? What is it likely to look like in 5 years' time? To help them to spend their money wisely and to be able to make projections and meet future, current and future need. So we really do work very closely with community organizations to support their work that they do.
So I suppose that a lot of these organizations are NGOs that you work with. Non-profit.
Yes, they're non-profit, non-governmental. They're independent charities mainly who are non-for-profit. So we have to charge for the work we do for them. We do major projects that we think are important, but we do very much work closely with the community organizations. They're charities, we're a charity. So we do have to charge for our work, but we do it in a way that organizations and charities, these independent charities across the Jewish community can afford the work that we do.
Are you mostly concerned with Europe or exclusively?
Well, until just a few years ago, we were almost, for quite some time, very much focused on the UK. But our work across Europe has expanded in the last few years. It really started about in 2012 when we won a tender from the European Union's Agency for Fundamental Rights, the FRA, to do the largest ever survey on Jews across Europe in 9 countries asking Jews about their experiences and perceptions of anti-Semitism. Usually, in terms of anti-Semitism work, you ask non-Jewish people what they think about Jews. This was really the European Union saying, we actually want to hear from Jewish people. So we did the survey across 9 countries 5 years ago. We're about to do the survey again. We just won the repeat tender from the European Union. We're working closely with Ipsos to do the survey now in 13 countries. We've done other work in the last few years across Europe for various Jewish organizations. We've done work in Australia, and we've done work in South Africa as well. So our remit is spreading, but our focus is on the UK and Europe.
When will this new study on anti-Semitism be out, do you know?
Right, so the survey is being launched on May the 9th, and the field work will be, the survey will be in the field for about 8 weeks. So right now, we're working very closely with Jewish organizations across these 13 countries, which includes Spain, for the first time. We're really the first survey done on the Jewish community in Spain, I think, ever. Actually, and it's also the first time it's going to be done in Poland as well. And we're working closely with the organizations to get their support, Jewish community organizations, so they can send out publicity about the survey to their members and across the communities. But May the 9th is the key date. That's when the launch will take place, and it will last for 2 months.
That's Victory Day, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, well, I think so. And it's a really important survey. It's massively important. The 2012 survey was not one of those surveys from the first time the European Union ran it that sat on a shelf and did nothing. It was actually fundamental to the appointment by the European Commission of a coordinator across Europe combating anti-Semitism, which has done remarkable work. And it's also helped play into the definition of the international definition of anti-Semitism, which was also really important. So it's had major impact. We think this study that's taking place in May is going to be even bigger and as important, because as we can see the rise of anti-Semitism across Europe. And it's really important that the European Union, the European Commission, national governments, local governments hear loud and clearly from Jews all across Europe what they think is going on today in terms of anti-Semitism.
Well, when it's ready, we'll do another program on it, okay?
I'd be delighted.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Jewish Europe, on your webpage, you have a map with data about each country in Europe, and that map is really fun to go to.
Yeah.
Can you tell us some of the information that's on it, some of the kind of data that you have there?
For sure. So this is relatively new. We only launched this about 2 months ago, and it was over a year in the making. It's funded by Rothschild Foundation very generously. So what we're doing here, we're trying to bring together in one place information about the Jewish communities in Europe. So on the first page, on the map page, you can see populations. Everyone wants to know what the Jewish population of any particular country is. And that's complicated, even just saying how many Jews live in a country. How do you count Jews? Is it a halakhic definition with two Jewish parents? Is it an aliyah definition? Is it a law of return definition? Is it what about children with Jewish fathers? So we give different definitions of Jewish communities in Europe, so people can hover over and see what the different numbers are. Thankfully provided by the great Professor Sergio Della Pergola. He's the one who does all the work on that. So we can see that. And we also cluster communities together. So you can see ranges in Europe about Jewish populations. But also we wanted to link it to, we launched last year an online archive of all research done on Jewish communities in Europe. And we've got over 2,000 items in covering over 40 countries in Europe of all different research since 1919. So you can see on the map page a summary of what country has got what items on the archive. But even more, you can click on each country, and together, I do this every day, I gather together new stories affecting Jewish communities each day. So you can click on a country and find out what's affecting Jewish community, what's been in the news, in the press about Jewish communities. So obviously, if you take Poland, there's been a lot of stories about the new law that's being passed by the government in terms of the Holocaust, which has caused such uproar, and it's all the latest English language press on there. And the same with other countries. It's a one place you can come to and go, what's the Jewish news in that country as well? So we're trying to bring research together, demography together, and current affairs together on each country in Europe. And you can find it all in one place on our website.
Is that Jewish research archive available to anybody? Can anybody use it? Or is it only, let's say, for scholars? Or do people have to pay? How does that work?
It's free for everybody. You can go to our website and you can click through to the archive, and it's free access for everybody. You can look by country, by subject, by language, by genre. You can look up different things and it'll give you the results. And if we have the PDF, you can download it freely. Sometimes the PDF isn't freely available. It's behind a paywall at a university, for example. We'll give you the link so you can go and find it. But anything that we have, it's free to access for everybody, for scholars, for Jewish community leaders, for somebody, Jewish students, anyone who's interested in Jewish communities, it's free to access.
And it's extremely wide. I mean, it's extremely big. I mean, it's got lots and lots and lots and lots of things on it.
Sure. It's over 2,000 items. I think we cover 25 languages in over 40 countries, I think it is. And it's really accessible. You can search by country and get lots of results, or you can just decide you want to look at, are there any reports on Jewish schools in Luxembourg? And you can go down to very minute levels and get very specific results. We hope it's accessible, as I say, not just to academics and researchers and scholars, but to anybody who's interested on what's been researched about Jewish communities since 1990.
Tell us about your publications, because you also have quite a lot of publications.
Sure. So, as I say, we do two types of work, effectively, at JPR, in terms of our reports. We do commissions for Jewish community organizations, but we also do a lot of our own research. We have access, for example, to the UK National Census, I should say, which since 2001 asked the religion question for the first time, which means we have the greatest data set on British Jews has ever existed. And so we've published lots of research that has been useful for Jewish community organizations who haven't paid for it. We've covered the cost of it. So we've, for example, done using the census data and also our own National Jewish Community Survey study, we've done charitable giving freely available on our website. What's charitable giving look like in the UK? What is it? What does synagogue membership look like now? We've done looks on the Jewish population of the UK is undergoing rapid change right now. We're seeing a decline in the mainstream community and a dramatic increase in the numbers of the Haredi or strictly Orthodox population. And we're talking about, and we've done some research on these huge changes that are taking place in the UK. We've done work on Aliyah across Europe. So we have figures from the Israeli Central Bureau of Statistics of where is Aliyah come from various countries in Europe, and is that linked to anti-Semitism? Is it linked to economic and financial reasons? And we explore the highs and the lows of Aliyah from various countries and looking for the reasons behind it. I say we've looked at health and disabilities. We've looked at where Jews live across the UK, where are the main clusters. For example, 20% of British Jews live in one London borough. It's remarkable how Jews are concentrating together. So all those reports you can find on our website for free download, free access. And we did a landmark report last year on anti-Semitism in the UK, asking non-Jewish people what they think about Jews in the UK. And we explored it in a way that's never been done before. And other communities across Europe are looking to do similar research, looking at the general population, but looking at subsets in the population. Where does anti-Semitism come from within the British population? Is it the far left, the far right politically? Is it the Muslim population? And we've looked at a way of measuring anti-Semitism, not just in terms of who's anti-Semitic, but looking at what is the prevalence of anti-Semitic ideas within populations in the UK. So we're looking at the elasticity of anti-Semitism for the first time. It's really a groundbreaking report that Jewish communities across Europe are now taking notice. And we've spoken to many of them who want to do something similar in their countries as well.
Do you have a very large staff? It sounds like you must.
We wish. We have a very small staff in the UK. We have, I think, at most, there's five of us in the office at any given time. We have three of the best researchers of Jewish communities that there is in Europe. I manage the project. I'm director of operations. We only have an administrator for one day of the week. We're a very small organization, but we have a tremendous output. We're looking to expand because we get more and more demand for our services and for our work. People acknowledge the quality and professionality of our work. But we just don't have the funding at the moment to expand as much as we like. We're doing this big survey across Europe. We're doing a national survey, hopefully in South Africa, and other countries in Europe are looking for our services, and we are going to have to expand, but it takes resources and finances, and we are very small at the moment.
Do you think that you'll stay in London, or do you think you'll open up a branch maybe somewhere else in Europe?
Well, that's a good question, especially with Brexit coming up. The UK is leaving the European Union. It's something we need to think about. We need to take on board. It's something we have been discussing because we are doing more and more work across Europe. We're being recognised more widely across Europe, and our services are being requested more. So it's on the agenda. Many factors play into that, and one is obviously is financial resources. Once we get over this big survey across Europe in 13 countries, we'll be able to look more widely in our future provision.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
I think not. I think it's important to know. We'll talk more hopefully at the time of this. The survey that we're doing in May in 13 countries in the European Union is such an immensely important piece of work. We're very proud to have won that tender from the European Union, and we're absolutely dedicated to ensure that the voices of European Jews in terms of anti-Semitism is heard loudly and clearly. We want as many people to take part as possible, and we are going to ensure that the European Union, the European Commission, and national governments hear the voice of European Jews across Europe. This is very important. We hear lots of things that are going on in the news. We hear that anti-Semitism is on the rise. We can see recorded incidents of anti-Semitism is on the rise everywhere, and we want to make sure the voice collectively is heard across Europe. So for me, that's a very important message. But we're also keen at JPR to explore the positive side of Jewish life, because there are so many amazing things going on in Jewish life in Britain and across Europe, and we've got so much data to explore and so much things as subjects we want to explore. We want to look at the positive aspects of what's going on in Jewish life across Europe as well, and that's what we intend to be doing over the next few years.
Well, we're looking forward to speaking with you again when you have finished the survey, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you for asking me on. I very much appreciate it.
Again, if you would like to participate in the survey, please go to the link on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner @RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.